Welcome to this edition of the Pepperdine People Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Gibson. This series captures some of the outstanding learning and outreach opportunities available here at Pepperdine. Each episode features interviews with exceptional members of our community and the special people who visit our campus.
Thank you for joining us for episode 43 of Pepperdine People. I'm Pete Peterson, the Executive Director of the Davenport Institute for Public Engagement and Civic Leadership at the School of Public Policy, and I'm joined today by Kay Heimowitz. Kay is the William E. Simon Fellow at the Manhattan Institute and is a contributing editor for City Journal. For two decades, she has written on American childhood, family, and culture for dozens of publications. She's the author of four books, including Marriage and Caste in America and Liberation's Children, Parents and Kids in America, and the just-published Manning Up, How the Rise of Women Has Turned Men into Boys. And Kay, it's great to have you here.
Oh, I'm delighted to be at beautiful Pepperdine.
Let's talk a little bit, just first at the 30,000-foot level, about the main themes of your book. You certainly, as you mentioned before, have been in some contentious discussions around the publishing of it. And so let's give me a little bit about the main themes or ideas that you're putting forth here.
All right. Well, one of the major things that I started, themes I started with, was what I call pre-adulthood. We're seeing the emergence of a new stage of life as people are taking longer to hit the major milestones of adulthood. It takes so much longer to become financially stable, to marry, to have children. The rates of marriage or the average age of marriage is at record highs now. So many, many young people are spending their 20s and even part of their 30s or well into their 30s as singles, childless singles who are often usually living in cities, working on their careers and enjoying the cities as well. So this stage of life, pre-adulthood, is interesting for a number of reasons, but one of them is that it's the first time we've ever seen where women are actually the first sex. And what I mean by that is they are better educated than men. They have 57% of the college degrees. They're more likely to have gone to graduate school. Most amazingly, for those of us with any sense of history about this, is that they are actually earning more than men. That, again, I'm talking about the single childless women. This, of course, does not apply to married and women with children.
Now, I think one of the very interesting themes of this book is rather than kind of shaking a finger, you're really looking at some historic elements here, both culturally and economically, that have led to this situation. And especially on the economic side, you talk a lot about the variety of jobs as part of Robert Reich and others have called the knowledge economy. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that and how this knowledge economy and the workers that are a part of that lead to this gap between men and women.
Yeah. One of the major reasons that we've seen the emergence of pre-adulthood is the knowledge economy. The knowledge economy, like its name suggests, requires a lot more knowledge or education. So many, many more people are going to college than they have in the past. Many are going to graduate school or professional school than they have in the past. And what's fascinating is that this knowledge economy is extremely complex, so that there are all these niches, odd sorts of areas where people can find work, and often very interesting and very creative work that didn't exist in the past. And I have lists of those in the book to give people an idea. Just consider this fact. We now have, and this has been true for the last 20 years, but not before that, incredibly complicated and fractured media environment. So, you know, with 300 channels, or maybe it's up to 500, I don't even know, that means many, many more jobs in the media for right. For young people. Now, the other fact about the knowledge economy that we need to take into consideration is that women do very, very well in a knowledge economy. You know, when we had an industrial economy, a manufacturing economy, it was the fact that men had the strength and the brawn to do the work in the mines and to do the work on the auto line and so on and so forth. But for knowledge jobs, women are easily men's equal when it comes to journalism, let's say, or communications or event planning or what have you. Not only they easily they're equal, they really seem to enjoy these jobs and see them as offering them a great area for them to express themselves and to explore themselves.
And related to that, I think one of the very interesting pieces of the book that you get into is how culture, specifically pop culture, has discovered this and maybe exploited it is too much of a is too dramatic a term, but they certainly have through movies ranging from Knocked Up to others, certainly various TV shows that you address, have really kind of honed in on this pre-adult period and how it is different between men and women. So you have a Spike TV channel mm-hmm. that caters really towards pre-adult men as a demographic, but you also have films and movies that also cater, Sex in the City, for mm-hmm. example, that cater to pre-adult women. So mm-hmm. talk a little bit about the yeah. cultural element of that.
Yeah. One of the reasons I wanted to write this book or that I became alert to something going on in the culture was that I began to see that there were all these movies out there with the classic or what's now very familiar to us, what I call child man, the young guy who is neither a man nor a child, but something in between. And those are the Adam Sandler movies and the Will Ferrell movies and, of course, the Judd Apatow movies as well. Judd Apatow, I think, by the way, is more self-conscious about
more
what
thoughtful.
He's doing there,
right.
And seems to have figured out a lot of what I'm talking about way before I did. So those movies came along, and I thought, well, what is going on here? There are a few things. One is the emergence of pre-adulthood, but the other is the fragmentation of the media, so that you had the possibility for the first time ever of having, let's say, TV networks that were devoted specifically to this age group, this demographic. And you could take the kind of wise guy Animal House tone in those shows that were made for those TV stations or in those movies. Lots of women and certainly old people like myself were not going to be particularly interested in that, but you didn't need them anymore because there were stations for and movies for everybody. So I do think that the fragmentation of the media has had an impact on pre-adulthood and on kind of segregating the sexes, really, because they said, well, this is for guys and this is for girls. And you know what? People seem to like that.
And I think what's interesting about that as it pertains to one of the main themes of your book is that both celebrate that separately.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that even just true. A catering to it, but it's a real celebration for the pre-adult male and the pre-adult female. And never the twain shall meet in that celebration.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Certainly the child man movies, this Adam Sandler movies, these are great fun. You know, these are great entertainments for young men. They're the ones who are seeing it. And for women, yeah, I think Sex and the City was the most prominent example of that. And, you know, another interesting fact about Sex and the City, you know, because it's been written about so much, is that not only is it popular all over the world, and it still remains that, you cannot believe the countries, Turkey, for instance, you know, and other places in the Middle East, really phenomenal. But the other point that I always like to make about Sex and the City is, you know, everybody talks about the sex, but what they have missed is that this is the most highly educated group of characters to ever hit the screen, I think. You know, you've got a Harvard-educated lawyer, you've got a Smith-educated gallery owner, and a public relations specialist, and so on and so forth. So it's it is a very interesting phenomenon, and Hollywood was very quick to see that something was emerging, some new demographic was emerging. They're always very good at that. And sociologists then figured it out shortly after.
I want to sort of move to the conclusion here because I think it's important, and the book is on books in bookstores now and on Amazon. It's a tremendous book. Again, speaking with Kay Heimowitz on her new book, Manning Up, How the Rise of Women Has Turned Men into Boys. It's important, I think, one of the points that you make in here is that we are not going to go back to a period before the growth of this knowledge economy that many of the strides made in the employment of women and equal rights have been tremendous and positive. But you temper the excitement and maybe the way that some of these lifestyles have been painted in the media to say that both biologically, obviously for women, but also culturally, there are some cautionary tales here that we really need to pay mind to. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that, noting that we're not going to turn back the clock here, but there are some important cultural elements here that we really need to be aware of.
Right. Couple things. One is that I think I'm talking to my generation, about my generation of parents who have children in their 20s. I think we taught them to expect a little too much from careers than they're going to find. And, you know, there is this term quarter-life crisis that maybe some of the listeners have heard of, and that refers to along about the mid-20s, this sense of depression, even despair sometimes, that it's not all it's cracked up to be out in the workplace. So I think there's been a little too much expected that parents have really neglected to tell young people, their children, as they're growing up, that there's another piece to happiness, and maybe even a more important piece, and that has to do with family life. That, you know, down the board, you always find that people say when they're old and sickly, that's what they keep coming back to is family. So there's that. There's also that pre-adulthood, as much as it is a necessary response to this knowledge economy, is also somewhat at odds with biology. So you have a kind of battle between culture and biology here. Women, once they are 30, their fertility starts to decline. At 35, it declines quite a bit. So they don't have all that long. Men feel rather differently about it, and I've had many, many men say to me, why should I get married now? I mean, you know, I'm a guy. I can wait till I'm 35 or 40. And from a biological standpoint, they're absolutely right. Women don't have that luxury, and we are seeing an increasing number of women who are very successful, and I, you know, can say from personal experience meeting some of them very, very attractive, very appealing, who find themselves at 35 or 38 without – not only are they not married, but there's really no prospects for them. Some of these women are going to sperm banks. Some of them are freezing their eggs. I fear that we are going to see an increase in the number of college-educated single mothers, which cannot be good for society as a whole. It's an understandable response to these dilemmas, but is certainly not something that we want to see grow too much.
Kay, I want to thank you for being here again. This was Kay Heimowitz with her new book, Manning Up, How the Rise of Women Has Turned Men into Boys. Appreciate your being here, and thanks to all of you for listening to Pepperdine People.